name of Jesus. She has expressed her desire. You can even make her greater than Sarah Kiai in the name of Jesus. Use this young girl, Lord, as an instrument to deliver your goodness and the message of hope even to a dying world in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing that breaks every yoke be upon her in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're blessed, Grace. God bless you. Amen. Really excited because of what the Lord has done, and I believe God has something very special for each one of us today. And I want to go pretty fast because of so that we can maximize the time. Praise the Lord. Somebody did very good the other day to send me a text, and some of those WhatsApp messages you receive, they are very, very nice. And when I got them, I said, this one is good. And I, you know, just edited it a little bit, and I sent it out to people. It was about their WhatsApp, if you can remember. If you're not in our WhatsApp, please let me know so that I can add you. It was talking about the exchange of the 500 shillings. You know, I thought about it, and I said, you know what? This is good. This is what it said. It said $500 looks so much when you're giving it to the church, but it is so little when you're doing what? When you're doing shopping. How many people agree with that? How many people agree with that? Come on, be honest. I'm going to be crucified. It's okay. You know, sometimes I feel like that too. You know, sometimes you feel like, oh my goodness, am I going to give all this money? Now, whenever you go to a store, you're a plant, and you want to go buy a jacket, or you want to go buy some clothes, or you want to go buy some groceries. You know, you have in mind what you want to go buy, right? And some of us, you know, put down a list and you go shopping. And sometimes I've gone out shopping with my wife, and sometimes I don't like going with her. And I think many men can agree with me because, you know, they have women are gifted to shop, you know. And they want to look at this thing, they want to look at the other, and sometimes they want to compare prices, and they want to go to another store so that they can check out prices. And that's all good, you know, it's a blessing. You know, if I'm going to a store, my wife tells me, come by the store, buy me milk and bread, trust me, I know where the bread aisle is, and I know where to get the milk. So I go grab the milk, and I put it in the cart, and I grab the bread. Within 1 minute, actually now I don't even go to the cashier. I go to the self-checkout, and I pass it. Within 1 minute, I'm out of there, and I'm blessed. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what I'm trying to say is there's an exchange of your finances with goods that are tangible. Amen? Whenever you go, you found a good suit, you know, and maybe it's going for about $60, you're able to say, touch the garment, see whether this is crippling or whatever kind of a material, and depending on the price tag that they are put on that dress, you're able in your mind to think to decide whether this is fair price. And many times you've said this is a good deal and you've bought it, right? And there are some times when you went and you said, no, I'll wait until there's a sale so that I can go buy because it has been overpriced. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Now, there's in the life that we are involved on a day-to-day basis, there's an exchange of the things that we want. You know, we pay something. We might be paying dollars in order to get the things that we want to receive, and those things are tangible. Those things are physical. They are things that we can identify with. You go to work, and you spend 40 hours of your life, and at the end of the week, you are given a paycheck. Okay? Right? Now, I am yet to see of anyone who goes to their place of work and they spend 40 hours, and at the end of the week, your boss comes and smiles and says, oh, thank you very much for the 40 weeks. I'm sure there's going to be war, or there's going to be, you're going to be calling Texas workforce, because those people are entitled to pay you a paycheck after the end of 40 days of your hard work. Amen? In other words, you've exchanged your life with something that is tangible, you know, but it is quite different when we are talking, when we switch gears and we talk about the life in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, the things that you invest, you may not necessarily have tangible things. Amen? You may spend your life serving the Lord, and at the end of the day, you may actually never experience a tangible exchange to what you have offered. And I would like to take us into this journey whereby where I feel the Spirit of God is trying to refocus us into a situation or into an idea that in investing into the kingdom of God is without nothing. It has some payment of some nature, not necessarily things that you can see. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah? Praise be to God. Now, I'd like to read the book of Hebrews 11, chapter number 3. Hebrews 11, chapter number 3. And for those who may want the title of my message today, I am calling it The Way Higher. Amen? If you want to live a high life, if you want to be lifted up by the Lord, if you can just follow the things that I'm just going to speak in the next few days, you are going to enjoy favor. You are going to enjoy a supernatural walk with God. You are going to experience God lifting you up in all that you do. Praise be to God. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 3. This is what the Bible says. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Don't we know all that, do we? So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And I repeat, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God, by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Amen? Wonder how many of you ever read that scripture, or you could have read Hebrews chapter 9 by 11, because it talks about faith, and maybe you went just through so quickly and you skipped, or you failed to understand what verse number 3, the significance of verse number 3. Now the Bible says that we understand that by faith that God spoke and the universe was created, so that the things that we can now see emanated from a world that we could not see. Somebody say amen. Everything that we can see physically with our own eyes emanated or has originated from a world that we have not seen. Now, there's a world that we cannot see doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And I've said here before that, you know, we, like for instance, right now, we are talking of Ebola virus. I am pretty sure nobody has, with their naked eyes, seen the virus. Yet we have seen the effects of Ebola virus, right? At some point, you are going to be constrained to shake somebody's hand because of something that you cannot see by your naked eyes. If you hear that somebody has Ebola, you're going to, and especially this has become so bad in this country, so that even in a flight the other day, I heard somebody say, you know, just somebody woke up on a flight and say, I have Ebola. And almost brought the plane down just because of that declaration. They said, I have Ebola, so do what you want to do. We are in there, 30,000 feet in the air. What are you going to do? I have Ebola. And everybody scratched, and he was, you know, almost pinned down, and he was trying to scare the people. And I think he was arrested after the flight was done. Now, he was scared because everybody was scared because of a virus that they have never and you will never see with your naked eyes. What am I trying to say? That there is a world out there. There is a spiritual world that we may not see, but we can see its effect. Amen? And the fact that we may not see does not dilute the fact that we should not be concerned about that world that we may not see. As a matter of fact, I'm making a statement right now that the world that we may not, the unseen world, in as far as our spiritual dimension is concerned, is more important than the tangible world. I will say it again, that the spiritual world that is so much connected to the kingdom of God is so important and so essential in our day-to-day life, more than the tangible world that we are able to see. Amen? Now, because of the way our day-to-day activities are lined up, or the way our secular life, or the way God structured things, It is very easy to not recognize that unseen world. As important as God wants us to regard it, to regard that world, we may be deluded even to appreciate or to take or to apply the principles of the physical world in the kingdom of God. And many times we struggle because we are applying the principles that are supposed to work in a tangible world, and those principles cannot really correlate or be understood in the unseen world. Praise the Lord. It is therefore important for us to understand what is this unseen world that we are supposed to wholeheartedly embrace and take time to understand if it is so much connected to the world that we are able to see. Because we have seen in the Word of God that everything that we have seen, everything that we know, everything that we can touch, everything that we can smell, everything that we can see, everything that is connected to the five senses emanated from a world that cannot be appreciated by those five senses. The car that you drove. Let me tell you, whether you would like to believe it or not, it once existed in unseen realm. Amen? And God provided for it. Even though you never saw it, it was there. There are things that God has destined for your life before you expire or before you leave this earth that are somehow swimming in the spiritual realm. Before you die, you're going to experience those things. Amen? There is a business in the waiting that is swimming up there somewhere in the spiritual realm, and all we need to do is reach out to that unseen realm and bring it so that it can be manifested and so that you can touch it. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I love what Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, chapter number 4:18, the second Corinthians. This is what he says. Very, very powerful. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. I will repeat. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary. Are you listening to me? What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Hallelujah. What is seen is eternal. When God says that I have a blessing for my sister, you know, my mother up there, when she says I have a blessing for this woman of God, it exists somehow. God declares it, and it doesn't happen. May not really happen the same day. What happened to Daniel when he was so disturbed about the plight of the children of Israel? And he started praying, you know, for a solution. He needed an understanding. He needed wisdom to understand what he ought to do at that particular moment. The Bible tells us that Daniel began to pray. Praise be to God. And when he began to pray, the thing that he was praying for didn't come to him right there immediately. What does the Bible say? That, you know, when he started praying, he started fighting, and he started praying, and without ceasing, he would petition God, and he continued praying. And on the 21st day, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord who came to him, and he told him that the moment you began praying 21 days before, God Almighty, I wish you can get this revelation, that the moment you started praying 21 days before, that is when God declared an answer, and he released that answer into a realm that you could not see. I am here to announce to you, Pastor Francis, that there are some blessings that are destined to you. They may not really be manifest, but they are somewhere in the supernatural realm. There is a car that God has destined for you, but it's somewhere swimming in the supernatural realm. There is a house that God has destined for you, but it is somewhere in the supernatural realm. There is a job that nobody can take away from you, that is swimming in the supernatural realm. There is a husband that God has prepared for you, that is swimming in the supernatural realm. God Almighty, there is a blessing for you, man of God, that is swimming somewhere in the supernatural realm. Oh God, I wish somebody can catch this, because the supernatural realm, it, you know, the Bible writes to the Corinthians that we, with our eyes, we focus on the unseen world. If you know the significance of the unseen world, you would dare, you would do anything to embrace it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, what are the things that are seen? the things that we can see. These are the things of the world, such as riches, honor, pleasure, profits, and the things that you can touch. Let me tell you, church, the other day, I was in a meeting, and I don't even know how to say this, but I was in a meeting whereby we were called to reconcile people. These were people that were given to conduct the affairs of the city. But there was one person in that meeting. These people, you could tell that there's an eagerness to serve the Lord and to dedicate their lives and to completely give their lives to the Lord and to serve Him in this ministry. But there was a difference in one or two people among them that they were fighting against leadership. And I could sense in my spirit that one was trying to fight and to put down these other people and to put them down. I felt maybe she was doing that because of her status. Let me tell you, status are the things of the world. If you remember what Bishop Ronji told us the other day, that God never gives us status, but He gives us stature. Somebody say stature. God does not give you status, but He gives you stature. Oh God, I love it. The moment you embrace status, you will be like King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh God, have you ever read about King Nebuchadnezzar? After God gave him favor, He gave him favor to rebuild the city of Babylon. And He gave him workers, and He gave him money, and He gave him resources to build the city. But he failed one thing, to recognize that he would never do it by his own hand. Let me put it to you, Church of Empowerment Christian Center, that whatever God is going to put in your hand, whatever you're going to find yourself doing, it comes from on high. It is God who orchestrates everything in your life. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 15, verse number 5, that He is the vine and you are the branches. And Jesus declares and says that without me, you can do nothing. I want you to tell you, without God, you are nothing. Without you, without His help, you can never do anything. Without His guidance, you are useless. Sometimes you can trust upon your own understanding, but if you know how limited your understanding is, you would surrender your life to God and tell Him, God, from this point on, I cannot go by my own. But I know I'm so limited. I can make 5 steps and wonder, am I making the right way? But when I'm connected with Jehovah, when you're connected to the vine, you know that everything is going to go well. He says, without me, you can do nothing. What can you do? The Bible says, can you add a strand of hair in your head? That's why it says, do not worry for what you're going to eat and for what you're going to do, because I, the Lord, knows. Can you imagine how He orchestrates the affairs of every single of the 7 billion human beings here on earth? Can you imagine that? What CEOs in the world can manage that such an enterprise? That God knows 5 years on every single person. He knows where you're going to be. He knows what job you're going to be doing, God. He knows who relationship He's going to be putting in your life. He knows where He is leading you. He knows you. My God, He says that as long as you have accepted Him, He has written your name at the palm of His hands. Oh, God Almighty, He loves us. We cannot do anything without Him. Focusing on the unworld sin. I don't want to drift from that, because that is very, very important. God gives us stature, not status. Now, what is status? What is status? Can somebody tell me what status is? Status is, this is what it says by status. Status is a high standing. It is prestige, a position of status in relation to others within a community, e.g. education, money, cars, houses, position. And what is stature? Stature is the degree of development of a person, e.g. in maturity, in morality, in faith. That is what God gives you, stature. The degree of development in a person in terms of morality, in terms of maturity, in terms of faith. God wants to raise you up. Not, He is going to bless you as you go on, because God is going to bless you. But the moment your eyes are going to shift from what God is developing in you, in developing the stature that God is developing in you into the status that He is giving you, then you're going to begin to crumble down. Are you listening to me? Like King Nebuchadnezzar. This is what he said. He went up aloft on top of a house and looked at the city of Jerusalem. And how many of us have am I able to look back? You're able to look at the way you've been successful in your business. Ever since you went to school, you've been an A student. You know, the moment you leave school, it's like there's a job prepared for you. And you go interview and you pass. And you're looking back and you say, how are wengine ni wajinga? Sijui wanatumia njia gani? For me, mimi mambo yangu inaendaa nywe. Let me tell you, do not even allow those words to come out of your mouth. Because the moment, the Bible says that while he was speaking those words, while he was speaking his glory, while he was saying that I have done this by my own might, the words had not even completed come out of his mouth, the Bible says that he withdrew his identity in him. And he said, from now you can no longer be human. I cannot share my identity. I cannot even see my likeness in you. How can you share my glory with you? How can you fail to see that I, the Lord, I, Jehovah, enabled you and brought workers in your life so that you could rebuild Babylon? How could you fail to do that? And I am going to teach you a lesson. He said, I am going to withdraw my image from you and I'm going to make you like an animal. And for 7 years, the king of Babylon crawled like an animal. The Bible says that he ate grass and he moved like an animal. In other words, the regard of God in him was completely withdrawn. You cannot do anything by your own might. Are you listening to me? What can you do by your own self? Let me tell you, I'm coming back to this story. And as they were, everybody, this person, and I could remember... you know, this person, she was just saying, oh yes, I did this. I'm the one who organized for the finances of this company. I did this and I did the other. It is God who gives you the ability to do the things that you do in the house of God. Are you listening to me? Whether God has made you a pastor of a church, that is nothing. It's God who has given you to be that pastor of that church. And that's not the Bible says that in a body we have many functions. If God makes you a leg, are you going to really brag to the whole congregation, I'm the leg that makes this body move? Because that is exactly what was happening in that place. She was saying, I'm the one who organized everything. I organized the finances. I set up the everything. But let me tell you, well, in her speech, I could not see her giving God the glory. I could not see her giving God the glory. And I saw danger. And I was telling her the ministry and everything about everything that you do in the kingdom of God, be it in the church, however little it might be, however big it be, it ought to give God the glory. Are you listening to me? Have you called to lead a certain ministry? Have you called to be a certain arm or a branch in a certain ministry? Know that it is God who has given you that ability. And the same way he gave you, he can withdraw it. You see the way, you see sometimes we think that, oh God, help us. We think that sometimes we are doing a favor to somebody. And please, you know, I'm speaking this with all the grace in my heart. I want you to take it negatively. You think that, you know, by going to this place, I am going there so that this pastor or the leaders of this church can see that I'm doing it. You are doing it for God. It is a privilege. Let me tell you, there is a privilege to serve God. It is a privilege to be in a position that you can be called to serve the Lord. Are you listening to me? Because God said that I can raise up some stones. If you do not praise me, God can create a mouth in a stone and he can create a mind in a rock and that rock can praise him. He can do it if no human being is willing to stand in the gap. So when you are called to serve God in whatever area that you've been called to serve, know that it is a privilege, church. Know that it is a privilege. Know that it is a privilege. When God has given you a good house, when God has given you a good car, when God has given you a good career, when God has given you money in the bank, oh, remember every single day here to kneel down on a sacred place and tell God, I thank you. For if you never did this to me, I would never be where I am. And even when you're talking with people, do not brag. Do not show yourself like you're the only one. Oh, who are you? God can bring you down. Because of pride. Listening to me. I am the vine and the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen. Amen. The Bible also says that we live by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. I was really privileged. I read something about Moses, and I know you guys have read about it in Exodus chapter number 33, verse number 17 or 15. The Lord went with the children of Israel wherever they went, and it was a great challenge to Moses to lead the children of Israel. And Moses knew something about the presence of the Lord. That he knew that as long as the Lord is going to be on our side, we are going to win every battle. And it came to a point where Moses, he was so annoyed, and he was really castigated and by the evil doings of the Israelites. And the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to send my presence. I don't even feel like I want to go with you. But Moses said this thing. Listen to what he said. This is what he said. The Bible says in the book of Exodus 33:15. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. This is what the Lord said. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Then it is as if Moses was never contented by what the Lord had said. And this is what Moses told the Lord. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, are you listening? If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor? Oh God. How can it be known that I have found favor in your sight? I and your people. Is it not by your going with us so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? Did you hear that? Moses recognized that the favor that we encounter every single day, it is because God is with him. Jesus. If I never said anything else, you can go home with this. Take it to the bank. Moses knew that the people knew that the favor, he knew that people will recognize when they look at Moses and see the things that God is doing that are happening around the people, the children of Israel en route to the promised land. When they look at his leadership capabilities, as they look at his patience, they are going to recognize, they are going to see something special. And that thing that they see, it is because that the presence of God was with him. I dare you, Empowerment Christian Center, do not even move out of this house. Do not move out of your house if you do not know that the presence of God is not with you. For when your presence of God accompanies you to your place of work, when your presence of God accompanies you in your car, when your presence of God accompanies you in an interview, when the presence of God encounters you in the hospital, when the presence of God encounters you or is with you wherever you go, people are going to see something special. People are going to see something special. People are going to see something unique. People are going to recognize how you talk. People are going to see how you don't interject and interact and praise yourself, because the presence of God is with you. Shiro, as you do your business, as women come and you're making their hairs beautiful, let the presence of God be with you. Tell God that, God, I'm not going to touch any woman's hair unless your presence is here. Because when you do the job, they're going to say, oh, there's no one who does it like Shiro. But they're not praising you. They are praising the Jehovah who is always with you. This is a purity. When you're organizing the affairs in SMU and you organize those huge contracts and meeting big people, let them not see an African lady who is beautiful, but let them see the presence of God, because you made a determined choice. It was determined. It was kind of determined. You chose, you decided, you made up a mind that I'm not leaving the island, my address in Ireland, without the presence of God. So as I'm getting into that car, as I'm getting into that Mercedes, I know that God is here with me. And when they look at what is happening around me, they will recognize the favor of God, and they will know that God is with me. Hallelujah. I cannot dare move even an inch without the presence. How can I do it? There are many things that call for my decision making. There are people that I'm going to meet that I don't know what I'm going to tell them. There's somebody in the hospital. When I see them laying there, I don't even have words to encourage the woman or the wife for that matter. And God, unless you put words in my mouth, I cannot go without you. There are things that have called for me to make decisions. And I don't even know what to. Somebody has called me in the middle of the night. Their husband is sick, and I don't even know. And they're crying on the other end. And I don't even know where to start crying or to encourage them or what verse to read. But God, because I know God is with me, I tell God, this is you. I'm just a conduit. I'm just an instrument. Amen. You're just an instrument. Muferevi. You are just a pipe. You're just an instrument. A conduit that God uses to reach his people. When you know that you're an instrument, you don't have to worry. That when God tells you, you know what, I want you, Steve, to be waking up every morning to come and clean this church. It is not going to be about you. You're not even going to complain. God, am I the only one? Let me tell you. When you do that, and I'm just giving an example. I'm not telling you, my brother. I know you do. You know what I'm saying? I'm speaking to you. When God tells you to do something in the house of God, here. Because this is where you serve, right? This is your church. And you have seen something malfunctioning. And you have said, you know what? Not under my watch. This is the house of my Father. When he puts that to you, don't look at whether the pastor is going to see it and come and do this. Your eyes may focus on the unseen world. Because when God sees your humility, when God sees that you're humble enough to wake up and you're doing this for the kingdom, God is not unjust. God is not unjust. In the right time, he will come and lift you up. Even when you didn't know it, God is going to come and connect you up. Oh God, let me tell you, God is faithful. And I'm telling you what I know. It is never in vain. Come on. It's never in vain. It is never in vain. When you support the work of the ministry, it is never in vain. Do not look at the tangible things. For when you look at the tangible things, we are not going to go anywhere. Look at the things that will come and fail. Pastor, hasn't God given you health? I dare you to walk into any hospital right now and see how people are sick. And God raises you up in the morning every day. Just the other day, you know, by the way, we need to be praying for Anthony, the husband to Mama Shiko. You know, Mama Gloria. I don't know how many of you have even called her. You need to call her and encourage her. She calls me every day. Pastor, I'm so heartbroken. I don't know what to do. This man, he was working just regularly, healthy. You look at him, he's healthy. And he's going into the waiting, the break room to just pour coffee so that he can continue working. And a sudden pain came upon his stomach, suddenly, from nowhere. And let me tell you, before you knew it, they were calling 911 and they were rushing him to hospital. He is still at the hospital right now. He's doing well, but we need to pray for him. In other words, why I give him that story is to tell you that you don't have any control over your life. Anything can happen to you. Do not assume that you will see the sun tomorrow. We cannot do anything. So we must focus on the things that are unseen right now. Occupy and please the Lord while there is time. Because you may not have that time tomorrow. Are you listening to me? We must do the works of him that called us to do it while it is still day. Don't create reasons. There are so many reasons that you can create. Let me tell you, we have so many reasons. And I have reasons. Sometimes I don't feel like coming here. I don't feel like coming to prayer. I don't feel like waking up in the morning to pray. I am telling you the truth. Catherine is my witness. Ask her. I don't feel like waking up in the morning to pray. But when I hear her praying, I have to say, Zasa, muzemo inaganya narara hapa na bibi yake naomba. What kind of a man is this sleeping here and the wife is just calling upon the name of the Lord? I wake up, I go to the shower and I wash my face unwillingly at that point. And I'm washing my face saying, it's all night, so I can't even sleep the cow's buoy, you know. But when the moment I wash my face and I get into my closet, I don't know where the power comes from. And I'm going there. I pray for Empowerment Christian Center. I pray for everybody that I remember. I command the affairs of their day. And it comes over you, the Spirit of God over. It's like he's been waiting to wake me up and get on my feet and pray. Are you listening to me? We cannot afford to sleep.
There's a work, and let me tell you, there's something for you to do here in the house of the Lord. And when you do it in an excellent way. Don't expect anybody to come and pat you on the back. Amen? Having our eyes, and I'm finishing right now, having our eyes on the things that are not seen. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I want to read one more story, and I'll be able to conclude. In the book of Luke 18, verse number 9 to 14. In the book of Luke, chapter number 18, 9 to 14. This is what the Bible says. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people." Have you ever had people praying like that? "I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers. I'm not like those. Or even like this tax collector who is standing next year to me." Have you ever stood next to somebody you know what they have been doing and you say, "Oyo mwadhani, God, I even want to move around, you know, away, just maybe a few seats from him, because when the pastor prays, maybe there's going to be a whooping that is going to come and I don't want to be part of it." You are judging them. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. "Okay, I told you that." Or even like this tax collector next to me. "I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." This was a prayer of the Pharisee. But the tax collector stood at a distance. You know, it is like he came into the house of the Lord from here. You know, and he regarded the altar, right? The tax collector. This is what the tax collector did. The Pharisee was actually up there, you know, ahead of him. And say, "I'm not like this tax collector behind me coming like, and he's all a sinner." And the tax collector came. He was actually coming so slowly. And because he was full of awe of the altar and the presence of the Lord, right? He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his chest and say, "God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I know I've not lived up to your standards, Lord. I may have tried but failed, Lord, but have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And the Bible says, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves, they will be humbled. And those who humble themselves, they will be exalted." Empowerment Christian Center, listen to me today. Do you want to live a higher life? Regardless of your status, regardless of what God has blessed you, do not be so concerned about the blessings other than the blesser. We ought to be concerned by the blesser. The blesser is calling upon you that he may humble you and that he may exalt you in due time. Amen? That is a word. That is a word for us today, that we humble ourselves and he will lift us up. And all those who lift themselves up, God, let me tell you, God has not, he doesn't need to call a lawyer or to call a police 911. God does not have 911. He's 911 himself. And he can be a hospital at the same time. And he can be merciful at the same time. He will just call a 911 within him and tell you, "This guy," he will do like this. Do you remember during the fimbo ya Nyayo? If Nyayo did that fimbo, you know where you're going to be. God says, and the angels will take care of the business. So that you see somebody, somebody who thinks, "Oh, you know what? I've done this. I have done this. I don't even know what these other people are doing. They have been wasting their times, you know. I'm the only one who comes to church. And I give my time. And I pray all the time. When the pastor calls the meeting, I'm the first one." Watch out, maneno yako. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Or God is going to do like this. If he does this and the angels take over, you'll be nothing. You'll be calling, "Pastor! Pastor! I'm in jail. Something happened, you know, there was this ticket that I avoided and I was stopped and they put me in jail and they want a bond of 1500. And I said, "Where have you been, my sister or my brother? If God did like this, I would let him do this. And when he tells me, go help him, I'll go help so that you can recognize how he can do this." Are you listening to me? Stand on your feet. Amen. Those who humble themselves will be lifted up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that Empowerment Christian Center
and the church at large in Dallas, Texas, we will learn how to humble ourselves. We'll learn, God, how to surrender our lives unto you. Father, we want to be used by you that we may bring glory to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for every family, every child, every woman, every man, every child, every single one of us. God, I pray that you shall teach us to be humble enough, Lord, not to look at the things that we have, but to look at the stature that you're bringing us up into. And you'll be glorified in our lives. Being in that mood of prayer, you might be in this house. You've never given your life to Jesus. And this is the opportune time that God has given you. All you need to say, Lord, here I am. And I want to surrender my life to you. Is there anyone like that? And let me tell you, you can invite Jesus into your life. The Bible says, behold, he knocks. He stands at the door of your heart. He knocks. And if only you can open up in, he can enter and dwell with you. It is with the heart that you believe unto righteousness, and it is with the mouth that you confess unto salvation. Is there anyone? Lift up your hand. I don't want to close this opportunity before I give you a chance. You might be here, you're sick in your body, and or you need a miracle, a touch from the Lord. Just lift up your hand. I don't know what it is. I don't even want to care. I don't even care what it is. God, who sees in the secret of man, he knows it, and he wants to touch you. Lift your hand up. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. Lift it high to glory, to the Lord, even as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your hand is not short. It is stretches out, O Lord, to every person, whether they are rich or poor, people from different nationalities, whether they are white, black, or yellow, you are not limited to touching them. These hands have been lifted up to you, O Lord. May you stretch your hand forth, God. Whatever miracle, whatever touch they need, oh God, may you deliver to them right now in the name of Jesus, that their joy may be complete. Help them, Lord, even to trust in you. Help them, Lord, even to hope in you. Help them, Lord, even to see the countenance of your glory in the name of Jesus. May you lead them. May you direct their lives. May you guard them. May you guide them. In the name of Jesus, let no one stumble upon a rock, because thou comforteth each and every one of them in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray even for Anthony Njuguna, who is in Baylor Grapevine, as he lays on that hospital bed, as a congregation, as his family, we declare healing power from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet in the name of Jesus. I speak comfort to Sister Christine. In the name of Jesus, comfort her and her children. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for anyone else, Lord, who is not here, Father, and part of this family. Protect them wherever they are. Shield them, O Lord. May you guard them and guide them to the glory and honor of your name. We glorify you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give Jesus a hand of applause, please. So welcome Pastor Chi to come and lead us into the offerings and what have you. Amen.
Hallelujah. And he will lift you up higher and higher, and he will lift you up. And he will lift you up higher, and he will lift you up. Humble thyself in the eyes of the Lord. 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 And he will lift you up higher and higher. And he will lift you up. And he will lift you up higher and higher, and he will lift. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is some of the songs we used to sing in the early days of our salvation, and they meant a lot. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good word, good word, good word. It's through those donkey words that God is going to bless you. Amen. The donkey words you do when no one is seeing you, when no one is giving you praise, when no one is recognize what you are doing, but the only one who sees in secret sees. Those are the works which will make God to lift you up. Amen. Hallelujah. We have few announcements here. And before we go to read, we have a visitor, John and Emma Kamau. Kamau? Yeah. John and Emma Kamau. Where are they? Could you stand, please? Hallelujah. Give them that CC. This is welcome. Amen. We love you, brother and sister. Where are you from? Can you please tell us where you're from?
Just the chorus.
Amen. 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 Amen.